Hey, Radio Nonsense listeners, if your grotty bleaters, sorry, grown-ups, want to help support this podcast, then they can sign you up to the Linda Edition via Apple Podcasts or Acast Plus. The Linda Edition is a version of this very show where adverts appear as often as Linda does, which is never. Yes, including this annoying advert at the beginning. You'll also get the podcast a whole day earlier than everyone else, and you never know, if enough people sign up, there might be bonus content too. Get those grotty bleaters to hit the button on Apple Podcasts or find the confusing link in the podcast blurb to do it on Acast Plus. Linda? You hear that, Linda? You have your own edition of the show, Linda. Ugh. You are listening to Comedy Club for Kids presents... Radio Nonsense! Hello and welcome to Radio Meownsense, the official Comedy Club for Kits podcast that's suitable for all ages from... Meow! To... Meow! And everything in between. I'm Tiernan, and no, you aren't hearing things incorrectly, listeners. It's just that here at Radio Nonsense and Comedy Club for Kids, I am contracted, or rather, apparently, concatred, to do an episode every 4 years that is just for our cat listeners, or as they call themselves, the Comedy Club for Kits. And of course, it's every 4 years because in French, four is quatre, which sounds like cat. I've been trying to get out of it by telling them I couldn't possibly do an episode just for cats, as I'm allergic to cats, don't you know, and it would be catastrophic. But then they said I just said the word catastrophic and didn't sneeze, so I must be lying. And they were right, sneaky cats. And then I said I couldn't possibly do an episode about cats, because what if they scratched the podcast? But then they said if they scratched the podcast, it would just sound really cool, like this. And I said, yes, it would sound cool, but then if they kept doing it, that would make me repeat everything and listeners wouldn't be sure if the podcast was working or not. So no to cat scratch. No to cat scratch. No to cat scratch. No to cat scratch. Cat scratch. Cat scratch. Cat scratch. Yeah, okay, that does actually sound quite good. Maybe I should let them do that. Anyway, I lost the argument, and as you can hear, there are now exactly 457 and a half cats in Comedy Club for Kids HQ, and they're all chasing the stinky hippos, playing with the farting animals, rolling the potatoes disguised as lemons. It is absolute chaos. There is cat hair absolutely everywhere, and everything smells of stinky cat food. Linda, are you okay with all these cats, Linda? Well, I guess not. They've clearly made her leave. What's worse is I'm meant to be making this whole show about things cats like, and I don't really know. I can't make the whole show about sleeping. That's quite boring. Let me think. Hey, cats, what's it all about when your pathetic human servants open the door because you've been meowing and then they get annoyed when you don't go out? Hey, all you wanted to do was get some lovely fresh air, right? What's that all about? This is very hard. How did I do, cats? Ah, well, apparently I've got to keep trying to do sort of cat chat. Le chat. I don't really know how that works. Until they purr happily, and then I can finish the episode and do a Comedy Club for Kids show again, which I would be so much easier. Hey, cats. Why is it they don't make chairs out of computer keyboards? Or why is it keyboards are only comfy just as your pathetic human servant needs to type something, and they're not comfy any other time? Oh, this is terrible. Am I right? One thing I can do is read these cats out the joke that Stella sent in on the Spotify Q&A, because I think they'll like this. I like this. This is fantastic. So Stella has sent in, what do you call a stick of cats? A molten rock. Thanks, Stella. That is very funny and very, very clever. I like that. Molten rock. Get it, cats? Because you're always molten and leaving fur everywhere, so you'd be a molten rock. Cats? Great, half of them are asleep and the rest have wandered off. Rubbish, this is a terrible day. Well, look, if you would like to send in a joke or ask a question that needs to be answered on the show, or send in anything else at all, really, then you can either ask your flappy belchers, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk, or you can message after any of the episodes on the Spotify Q&A. You can also write the show review on many of the podcast platforms or cat forms for this episode. And if your grown-ups would like to support this show happening or cattening, then they can sign you up to the advert-free Linda edition for a small monthly price on Acast Plus, the Comedy Club for Kids Patreon, or Apple Podcasts. And please do tell anyone else that you think might actually like to listen to this show to give it a go. Oh, I'm a poet but don't know it. They might like to listen to this show to give it a go. That's pretty good, isn't it? I do actually know I'm a poet, and I'm very impressed with my poet skills. Do you like poetry skills, cats? The cat sat on someone called Matt, and it made him lose his hat. Oh, this is terrible. Not a whisker. Okay, while I work out how to get rid of these pesky kitties, you have a listen to this most importantest bit.
You can fool everybody, but landed here and here, you can't fool a cat.
I am joined today by the brilliant Andy Barr, a.k.a. Andy, who won't go to a beach if it's sandy, a.k.a. Andronathan Barbles, world champion at marbles, and, of course, as all of our crow listeners know you, But most of our Radio Nonsense crew will know you for being the inventor of harsh play centres, which are the opposite of soft play and everything is made of gravel and sticks, for winning the gold medal in the 2007 Global Cat Herding Tournament, and of course, most famously, for not only proving the Loch Ness Monster is definitely real, but also for being its official BFF and pen pal. Andy, so lovely to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Tin, and it's so nice to be here with you. So a big hello to you and a big to any crows that we happen to have listening. Really nice to be here.
Well, I hadn't realized that you spoke crow as well. That is because you got that perfectly. I only know a little bit, but I understand that is the way to do it.
Yes, I'm learning via Duolingo on my phone.
Oh yes, of course.
Yeah.
And is it, does it sort of give you weird, because I find I'm trying to learn French on Duolingo and I find it often says things like, my cat's gone to get the groceries, which I will never use in France. Well, maybe I will. I don't know. Perhaps in France, I mean, cats do get groceries. I don't.
My cat does go and get the groceries. It's very helpful.
Right.
Actually, if you're able to train your cat to go and do the groceries, then that frees up some time for learning more crow.
That's true, actually. My concern would be that you'd need groceries quite soon. You'd send your cat to get them. They'd maybe come back 3 weeks later looking like they'd been sort of pulled through a bush and rather shredded apart.
Yeah. It just depends entirely on discipline. And the other thing is that I've got a very large, muscular cat.
Right, wow.
So we strap sort of sacks to his back,
wow.
and he's able to bring back kind of large amounts of shopping. I mean, it's often tuna.
Sure,
but sure. So, you know, you've got to be very prescriptive with the list.
Yes, and I mean, quite handy, though, if you do need tuna. I mean, I think that's, you know, very useful, just for very specific times when you might need tuna.
Well, yeah, I mean, the volumes are getting problematic. We've had to rent a storage unit for the tuna.
If he's a big cat, he probably gets through quite a lot of it, though.
He does get, I mean, well, that you know, it's cause and effect.
Sure,
really, isn't
which
it?
One I is, think, yeah, that's true. That is true. Wow. Well, I mean, it's something I definitely consider. Maybe if I just wanted milk, tuna, and other cat-based products. I don't have a cat, so maybe I need to get one and then train it in the ways of grocery shopping.
From what I've heard, soon you will have to have one. It's going to be there's an order going through Parliament at the moment whereby everyone in the country is going to have a cat.
Oh wow, okay. I was slightly worried that I thought you meant like just I would have to have one, but you mean everyone in the country?
No. Everyone, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know much about this, Bill. Are they going to distribute cats out to people, or do we have to get our own? Do we have to do the hard work, is what I'm saying, or will we get a cat in the post?
No, the cat will be delivered.
Great.
And the cat will also have had some role in selecting you. So they've got a big sort of document at cat headquarters, which has the details of every single person in the country. And all of the cats are going to be given an opportunity to look through this document and then pick who they want to to live with.
Right. I'm a bit concerned that I haven't entered my details. But I'm worried that I'll have put the wrong information in. You know, if we haven't been warned, what if people, for example, put, I really like dogs, and then, of course, all the cats are looking through thinking, well, I'm not going to live with them.
Well, I mean, that is a concern, but I'm sure some of the cats will welcome the challenge.
Yes, true, and maybe
particularly, you know, yeah, really big ones.
I was going to say muscular cats like yours perhaps think, well, I'm sort of dog-like in a way.
Yeah, they're up for a scrap.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, gosh, well, that's going to be quite life changing. I look forward to it. And what that does make me pleased that then I will be able to use the phrase. And what I was going to ask is, do you get sort of interesting phrases for crows on Crow Duolingo?
Yep. Have you seen any rubbish lying around? Which is
right. That's very useful. Yeah.
And be careful, there are magpies in the area.
Wow.
Which is simply
wow. That's quite worrying. I didn't realise that was needed so often.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's a bit of a sort of turf war going on between the two species.
Is that I worry this is a bit of an offensive question to sort of crows and crow kind, but when we see magpies, obviously it's one for sorrow, two for joy, three for a girl, four for a boy, five for, I don't know, a PlayStation 5, I think it is, and then six for a holiday.
Six for Cornwall.
Yeah, six for Cornwall, that's right. Seven for a holiday in Portugal, I think it is, and then eight slightly ill-fitting shoes. The list goes on and on, but I wondered, with crows, is it one for sorrow, two for sorrow, three for sorrow, four for sorrow, five for sorrow?
Yeah, I mean, it's sorrow slash a fight. It can kind of go either way. It depends who wins the ensuing battle, really.
Wow. And that's been going on for years, I guess.
Millennia, I believe.
Wow.
Ever since the magpie was invented. It was just a crow in the first place, but then it fell into some paint and got little sort of white splotches on it.
And just stayed that way. Just liked it.
Just carried on, yeah. You know, it's decorative.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. I've got, you know, I'm all for anyone dressing how they want to dress. And I think if there's a magpie out there that's happy with a bit of paint on its belly, then why not? That's lovely.
100%.
Yeah.
Fully supportive.
That is lovely. Wow. Well, already such incredible information about crows that I have to say I wasn't expecting. But it's very useful, and hopefully the listeners will find that very useful.
I hope so too. And once again.
Yeah, that was. What did that mean? What did that mean? Sorry,
I got that slightly wrong. That actually meant bread.
Right. Okay. That's quite a nice greeting. I think that's quite nice to end sentences with bread.
Well, so, and you know, some species will really welcome that.
Yeah.
Ducks for example.
Yeah. And geese.
Geese, no, geese would love that. Although that it might get them a little too excited.
Yes, that's true. That is true. I had a real brain fail that I couldn't think of any other animals that like bread, which is weird, isn't it? Because you'd think, I mean, I like bread. Bread's great. You'd think more animals would want it. And
maybe they just haven't had the opportunity as yet.
That's true. Actually, that's true.
Yeah,
it's quite.
You should go around outside waving a loaf.
Yeah, but you got to sort of, you know, some animals may find that quite upsetting. You got to entice them. It's got to be like, this loaf's for you, and maybe you need to sort of throw it at the animals that you think should have it, or you know, these be a nice way to offer it.
I'm just spitballing here. You could take it outside first of all, but take it outside slowly so that they know that it's not
good
a threat,
idea.
And then erect a sort of a gazebo or a marquee around it, little mini one, with some bunting and perhaps some sort of signage that indicates to say a deer or a mouse or a lion, that bread is for them.
I suppose you have to be careful. Like, you wouldn't want it to be. Is it a tiger loaf that could scare them away?
Yeah, well, and a lion in particular might take offence to that.
Yes, that's very true. But they've got lion bars, so you know they should be all right with tigers having loaves.
Yeah.
It's very complicated. I'm glad I don't work in a zoo. That's all. I'd find it very hard knowing what to feed what animal. And
yeah, I mean, and once you've fed the animals, you've got to shovel up the poo as well, yes, haven't you? So I mean, it's just a never-ending cycle.
But this is what I think one of my biggest problems with animals is that, you know, your cat goes and gets the groceries. That is very useful. So many animals, it's like, feed me, clean up my poo. It's like, well,
yeah.
What do you not do anything for yourself?
Yeah, a bit of housework, bit of admin, maybe, you know, fill out some of the tax returns, yeah, or something. That would be really helpful. But some of these animals really don't have a good attitude.
No. And maybe that's why we don't give them bread. You know, why should they have bread if they're not going to work for it?
No, a bit of dry food instead. The very basic.
Yeah, the very basic. Yeah. Well, lots to think about. I mean, and I should ask Andy, really. So I've been very rude. We've been talking about crows, we've been talking about cats, but how are you? Have you been just incredibly busy? Not busy at all? Have you never been busy in your life? Do you know what busy means?
I'm not entirely sure what busy means. I don't think I've ever been it. I mean, as I say, I've automated a lot of the sort of household processes by recruiting, you know, cats and other people to do them for me.
That's great.
So for the most part, I'm just, you know, learning crow, wandering around the house, wondering where we're going to put all of the tuna. Mm. We've got a storage facility for the majority of it, but then, you know, sooner or later we're going to need to hire another one.
Yeah.
So that's my main concern, really, in life.
I mean, I'd say that's busy. I think that some people seem to think that to be busy, you have to be doing important things. But actually, I think you can be busy doing nothing. And you are, in fact, busy doing some things, like working out where all that tuna goes.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess to be fair, that's actually solved quite a large problem that I was having in my life, which was wondering, you know, what my purpose was. And if that purpose is simply to deal with a large amount of tuna and to sort of regulate that,
yeah,
then that's really good. I'm happy that I've created the conditions for my own purpose.
I mean, you know, who knows? This could be the beginning of something very big. Before you know it, you could be asked to work out where everybody's tuna goes. You could be asked to work out where the tuna in the ocean goes, and perhaps sort of have to sort different large tuna fish into a filing cabinet or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that sounds like a lot of responsibility to take on, but I think with the experience that I have in that field, I'm prepared to do it. I would propose that most of the tuna, if we've got too much of it, would go in the you know, the Mariana Trench at the bottom of the ocean.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, big sort of gap, and lots of it could go down there.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Is it some tuna is dolphin friendly, and some tuna, I believe, is quite rude to dolphins.
Yes, so you would have to separate. Well, that brings in a sort of secondary question, doesn't it? Where are we going to put the dolphins, and do I have the right to decide where they might go? Because, you know, you'd have to put them in with the friendly tuna, and the rude tuna would probably go in the trench, I reckon.
Yes, that's fair. Would you? Are you happy training up in dolphin relocation sort of skills, or do you think you'd need to ally with an expert in that area and work as a team?
I think it could be a combination of the two. I mean, if you have any sort of local schools or colleges that do a sort of evening class in dolphin management, then I would be very keen to learn about that. And also, if you could recommend any other sort of animals or persons who might be able to assist me, I'd love to know.
Wow. Well, hey, you know, maybe the listeners have got some recommendations. I have to say, I don't think I've ever come across a dolphin management expert. I've come across people who know dolphins, who've met dolphins, who've worked with dolphins.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of them have managed dolphins.
No. I mean, my postman has some very strong opinions on dolphins. Mostly he says that they're too big, because I understand that when he was trying to deliver a parcel,
yeah,
it was some stamps Pretty silly in the first place, yeah. Delivering some, so, delivering some stamps via post.
To just go. So he was going to deliver a parcel of stamps to someone who would then presumably put those stamps on a parcel and send the parcel to somewhere else.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, there's no accounting for some people, is there?
That's really weird.
Yeah. But anyway, there was a dolphin in front of the letterbox.
Right. Yeah.
And he couldn't get it out of the way because it was simply too large.
Yeah.
He tried to put the parcel in its mouth, but of course they've got quite thin sort of beaks almost. Yeah. So he could get it in the mouth, but then it wouldn't go through the dolphin and into the letterbox.
Oh, that's a shame, is it? Because I could sort of almost imagine that if you put it in the mouth the right way and then you slotted the dolphin's mouth through the letterbox. And then it could sort of open its mouth and drop the parcel. It's a bit like one of those grabby hands. They're on a stick and they've got the little trigger handle thing, and you use the grabby hand to grab things far away. And you could use a dolphin's mouth a bit like, hold it by the tail, use the big beak to pick things up, put it through letterbox. It could be quite useful.
I mean, that sounds great, and that's certainly something that I will suggest to him next time I see him. Yeah. I think the problem was with the way in which the dolphin was situated. Its tail was actually in the letterbox.
Oh,
He couldn't access the tail. It was sort of front on.
That's awkward, and it's almost as though someone was trying to post the dolphin out of their home.
Yeah. Yeah. It raises more questions.
It really does. I mean... Yeah. I also wonder what he says they're too big, but does he mean they're too big for a shrimp because they're a dolphin? You know, they're not big enough for a whale because they're a dolphin. I don't know. For a dolphin, I'd say they're about the right size.
Hmm. Well, I mean, my postman is a shrimp.
Oh, right. Okay. That explains.
Yep.
Well, it explains some things. And again, it raises more questions. How does he drive a van?
He does. He's got for accessing the pedals of the van. He's got enormously long stilts.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
And he's got sort of hand stilts as well for accessing the steering wheel and the gear stick.
Are they still called stilts when they're on the hand? Are they just hand stilts when they're on the hands?
They're hand stilts. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I didn't realize. Like, I just didn't know they'd have a special. I suppose stilts doesn't sound like for your feet. It's not like they're filts. Hilts and filts.
I mean, maybe that is the industry parlance for it these days. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not a shrimp. You know.
Sure. Yeah, that's well. I dare say.
I'm a man.
You know, that you don't have to be a shrimp to use stilts or hilts or filts.
No. Clowns are allowed.
Yeah, and clowns aren't shrimps.
They've got a license.
Are they?
Not all of them.
No, some. Oh, yeah, obviously some. Yeah.
No, I mean, if you've never seen a shrimp clown, I recommend you get yourself down to the underwater circus immediately, because it is really quite a sight, particularly when it comes to the lion taming.
Wow. Is it lion fish taming, or they just have lions underwater?
It's a combination of the two. They work up from one.
Right,
to the,
sure. That to the makes next. Sense. And how do the clown fish feel about the shrimp clowns?
Quite annoyed.
Yeah, I bet.
Really, quite irritated.
Yeah.
They've established a second circus that's just down the road, but it's not as good.
Sure.
I say road, I mean reef.
Yes. It's sort of, that was listeners should be aware of how fish travel by now, I hope.
Yeah.
Very similar by little cars on the reef. And I suppose my other question, I'm guessing the other animals here, octopus, they do the sort of thing where they can fit into a little jar and, you know, like the contortionists, is that right?
They do that. They also do some sort of some acrobatics work as well.
Cool.
And act as the sort of net for the for the cockle that gets shot out of the cannon.
Wow, they are busy. They're very busy.
They are. But I mean, they're very capable animals.
Very smart.
That's one. If you wanted to get your administrative tasks done at home, I'd get an octopus on it. They can hold 8 pens.
That's amazing. That's a really good idea, actually. Yeah, who? Why haven't they passed a bill through Parliament that we all get an octopus?
Well, because they're too busy with the cat thing.
Sure.
At the moment.
Sure. We start with cats.
Yeah. There's some MPs are particularly keen on the cat thing. So the octopus bill hasn't made it anywhere near. Actually, I think it got delivered incorrectly in the first place by the postman.
Right, because it was too.
So it's actually ended up in the Dutch Parliament.
Right. Gosh. Well, once again, you know, the Dutch have managed to get things done very quickly, and as opposed to opposed to us. Wow. Well, Andy, listen, I'm so pleased that you had time in between your tuna sorting to come and join us on the show today. And I do have a question that I believe, with your level of expertise, that you are the person who can answer it. But before I ask you that question, you were obviously discussing that octopus is best for admin. You are not an octopus, but how do you feel about admin?
I loathe it.
Oh,
frankly,
oh dear, okay.
My hands get very itchy if I touch a pen.
Oh, that's all right. What about pen free admin?
Pen free admin, I'm willing to give it a go.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I've got two admin questions, and at no point during these questions will you need to even look at a pen or think of a pen in any way.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
I could feel my hands getting itchy already.
Well, I know you're worried. And look, if a pen happens to be near you at any point during these questions, that is a coincidence. You do not need to go near it. Mm-hmm. You can keep your distance. You should be safe.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay. Thank you.
Good. There's two of these questions. I think the second one is essentially a lot more difficult, but we'll see how we go. So the first admin question I do have to ask you, that's the rules of this show, is quite simply,
yep.
What is this?
Well, I think it's a noise, isn't it? I think it's going to be a noise.
Is it?
It's my understanding. I think it's going to come out as a noise, and I'm hoping that it's a noise that gives me an opportunity to grow my brain, because I've got a notoriously small brain. Ask anyone.
Right.
Very, very small brain. But I'm hoping that the more of this noise that happens and that I'm party to, my brain will get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then bigger again.
Wow.
And then hopefully start coming out of my head.
Wow. I mean, for a start, that will make hats quite tricky for you, I think.
Well, I am looking forward to the opportunity to have bigger and more exotic hats.
Oh, sure.
Because at the moment,
sure,
my hat choice is, you know, fairly limited to your standard hats. Whereas if the brain keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and perhaps, you know, grows its own sort of arms or antlers or a second head,
yes,
then I can get in touch with my hat guy,
right,
Peter,
right,
mm-hmm, and you know, commission some really exciting hats.
That's great. I mean, I dare say you'll have a bigger brain. You could probably think up some of your own designs.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I could, you know, I could branch out from the administration, the tuna administration, into hat designer, Mr. Hat. What's the name for a designer of
a hattist?
Hat. Hatter.
Hatterera.
Hatulator.
Oh, hatulator's nice. I like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Catamaran.
Oh. That's very nice, actually.
Yeah, do you like that?
Yes. Hatsman.
Hatsman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plenty there.
Yeah, there's quite a few. Yeah. I mean, you know, you might find your own unique title.
Well, I really hope so. I mean,
yeah,
hopefully that brain expansion is gonna come anytime soon. And
I mean, I also have to ask, what sort of noise expands your brain? Because, you know, it's definitely a thing that sort of grown-ups like to do, is have a go at you for maybe making too much noise, or, you know, turn that noise down. But if noise helps you grow your brains, then surely they'd want noise. I guess it's very specific sort of noise.
Well, it is. Unfortunately, from the conversations that I've been having with scientists, because I know a few scientists, and they have told me that actually that the noise that is most likely to expand the brain is a fart.
Really?
Hmm.
Really?
It depends on the frequency
sure,
of the,
sure.
the fart, but Yeah. The louder, the bigger the brain becomes, I'm afraid.
Because often people frown upon loud farts in public, not something I agree with. I have to say, I think people should be free to fart as loudly as they want, wherever they want. But
absolutely.
Are people... Is this idea that you shouldn't fart loudly in public because the people at the top don't want everyone to become super smart?
Yeah, I think it's partly that. The other thing is that, imagine that you are on a train.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. I can imagine that, Andy.
You can do that. Which train is it?
It is the Birmingham to Glasgow line.
Wrong.
Oh, have I imagined the wrong train?
No, it's it's going to Plymouth.
Oh, okay, sure. Can I be in carriage D?
So imagine, is that the quiet, which one's the quiet carriage? Because it wouldn't work if it's the quiet carriage.
I don't think it's carriage. I just like carriage D.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, carriage D is fine. So imagine you're there. Mm-hmm. It's a packed carriage. Mm-hmm. Somebody does a big fart at exactly the right frequency.
Sure. I can see why you couldn't be in that
Everybody
carriage,
in that.
Yeah.
Everybody in that carriage, their brain is going to expand immediately, and then none of them would be able to get off the train because it'll all be sort of packed in with their big new brains.
Right, I see.
And the other byproduct is that they'd all be stuck in there with the smell of the fart.
Yes, and then presumably at some point another one of them might fart, then they'd get squished in even more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be awful. Yeah.
And sooner or later, it's going to crack the carriage open like an egg.
Yeah.
And then where will you be?
Sort of just...
Exeter, maybe.
Yeah, Exeter covered in brains and farts.
Yeah.
So
you can see why they're keen to sort of, you know, suppress this information.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. So I guess for your benefit, you kind of want smaller farts at first, building to bigger farts as you kind of reach extreme brain.
Yeah, and you want to be in a big room.
Yeah,
I think is the other thing, or outside. If you're outside, then it's going to be less of a problem, unless you're underneath a pylon, a power line.
Sure, sure. Yeah,
you get zapped if your brain grows upwards too quickly.
Right, is that that's the direction it goes up, not sideways.
It depends
sure. on the frequency of fart and the shape of your head and
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the wetness as well.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yes, that makes sense. Yes, that makes total sense. Well, I hope for your sake, it is a noise that will help you grow your brain correctly. And I hope you are, it doesn't look like you're underneath a pylon as we're talking, but I...
Not at present, no. I'm close, but not close enough for it to be a worry at present, I think.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You've answered question one. That was brilliant. Thank you very much. Question two, the second admin question. This might require more thinking. I'm worried, you know, I know you only have a very small brain. Hopefully this will be all right, not too difficult for you, but take your time on it.
Yeah.
Would you rather, Andy, every time someone shook your hand, you travelled in time, or every time someone bumped into you, you became the size of a green pea?
Ooh. That's a toughie. Mm. I don't shake many hands in my day to day life. I mean, I high five my cat when he returns from the shop, but I don't think that counts as a handshake. So I don't know. I think that'd be quite exciting. How far forward in time would you travel?
Well, it doesn't specify whether you travel forward or
whether
back
it's forward
in time
or backward
or how far. Okay. So I think I'm guessing it's quite varied. You know, one second someone's saying, oh, nice to meet you. Next second you're in medieval Britain or ancient Rome or 2346 being fired at by robot pirates with lasers, you know.
Well, I mean, some of that sounds quite exciting, but I think some of the time I find it a little daunting getting to know people. And if you know, part of the process of getting to know someone would be traveling back to pirate times with them, having to immediately sort of form a bond of trust with them in order to fight off the pirate captain. I would be worried about that.
Yes.
So
yes,
that frightens me a little. But then again, if you get bumped into and then you're the the size of a pea. Size of a pea or an actual pea? It's just the size of.
The size of a green, a specified size of. A green pea.
Green
not
pea.
A yellow pea.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, just, you know.
Heaven forfend.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'd worry about getting stepped on. But say you were in, now this is naughty.
Okay.
This is naughty, but say you were in a bank.
Right.
And you didn't have enough money at that time to support your enormously large and muscular cat's tuna habit.
Yes.
You could orchestrate bumping into somebody and then just fit under the door of the vault.
Oh, that's clever.
And you'd be in with all of the money.
That's clever.
I hadn't thought about how I'd get out.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be able to carry much money if you were just the size of a pig.
No.
Unless you've got strength. Unless like an ant, you can carry 10. As soon as you become that size, you can carry 10 times your own weight.
Oh, wow, yes. I could sort of carry out stacks. Mm. Well, I'd have to, maybe the stacks probably wouldn't fit under the door, so you'd have to get them out sort of note by note. Mm. Mm. And maybe the people in the bank would notice sort of piles of money appearing note by note just outside the door of the vault. So I think I'd probably go handshake time.
Sure. I mean, there is also quite an easy way out, that, you know, you could move somewhere like Japan where people bow instead of do handshakes, or sort of parts of the Middle East where people put their hand on their chest instead of shaking. So you could avoid this by relocating entirely.
Yeah. No, that's very, very smart.
Yeah.
That's very smart. And if I'm, you know, if I'm in charge of the dolphin relocation by that time, I could just requisition a dolphin to go to Japan on that. Then that would save on the plane fare.
That's a great idea. Yeah. That's a great
idea. Have you ever ridden a dolphin?
No, I haven't. No. I assume they're not too big for that.
No. They're just about the right size for that.
Sure.
And very fast.
That's good. But you do have to be underwater the whole time, do you?
Yeah, but, you know, it's a lifestyle choice, isn't it?
Sure.
Breathing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I quite like it. It's my preferred lifestyle choice, though, I think.
It's certainly one of the choices that I have made. And I've never made anyone, I met anyone who has made the choice the other way. But
No. Me either, actually, no. So it's someone will do it, and fair play to them, but, you know,
absolutely.
I don't want to be that person. Well, thank you, Andy. Thank you for taking both those questions very seriously and dealing with them appropriately. I really appreciate that. We have now been sent in, this is very important, we've been sent in this question from Anonymous and Rhino. Now I assume they are two friends. I don't know, if it sounds almost like a law firm. Anonymous and Rhino. We deal with your case, Fino. I don't know. I don't really know what their slogan would be. Anonymous or maybe a sort of superhero team. It's very hard to tell. Wrestling tag team. I don't.
I think it's a wrestling tag team. I went to school with a Rhino.
Oh.
And he was very sort of very sporty,
right.
And I was quite into bodybuilding, so I reckon might have got into wrestling in his later years. So it could even be the same one.
Well,
if it
nice.
Is, hello, nice to
that's
nice
very
to see
nice.
You.
Would you assume?
Not that I can see.
I'm just going to go on the animal theme here. Do you think Anonymous is a, like a mouse or not?
Yeah, yes, I think that would make sense, and it would for a wrestling duo as well. That would make sense for a sort of. From a visual point of view, it would be fun to see a rhino tagging a mouse in for a tag team match.
Yes, I agree. Well, I hope that's the case.
Yeah, fraught with danger, given the mouse's size, but fun nonetheless.
Yeah, fun, and they travel well together because you'd only ever need one seat on a plane. The mouse could sit on the rhino's shoulder and or in the pocket.
Absolutely, and tell all the other passengers' stories about their, you know, WrestleMania and things like that. It'd be very exciting.
Well, I hope that's that. Well, I both hope it's a rhino, you know, and also a rhino and mouse wrestling tag team.
Yeah.
They've got in touch.
I choose to believe that it is.
Yes. Well, let's see. Let's see. Well, the question here, they say, hello, I am 100 stinky hippos old, and my brother is 80 stinky hippos old. All right. So they're.
Yeah.
I guess one of them is the brother. And I don't know if you know your stinky hippos kind of age chart, but I think that makes Anonymous around 26 years old. And the brother, I think, around 87.
87, right.
I think so.
Okay, it might be a different guy then. Because I know that I'm sort of 90 stinky hippos old.
Right, right.
So slightly older than 26 and a little bit under 87.
That sounds about right. I think that's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, unless, no, I think he's a different guy.
Well, that's a shame.
Which is a shame.
But it could be that the wrestling has really aged him.
It can do that. Mm. It can do that. It has the power to disrupt the flow of time.
Well, absolutely. One powerful slam and you, and a bit like the handshakes, you've fallen back into ancient Rome.
Yeah, and you're very old.
You're very old, yeah, ancient.
And that would be a terrible place to be very old.
It'd be awful, actually. Very awful. Yeah. You just sort of wear a toga and eat grapes, I suppose. It'd be. I think that's all they did, isn't it?
Yeah. But they did, But, I mean, obviously, if you've not got your all your original teeth anymore...
Yes,
you know, the grapes are going to be a bit of a... You'll have to, you know, abandon your toga-wearing time in favour of just eating grapes. You know, put yourself full time into sort of mushing.
Yeah, that's pretty.
The grapes.
Pretty boring after a while, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard, very hard. Well, you know, I hope it is the rhino, you know, but I hope they haven't aged dramatically.
Yeah.
I also hope they're the mouse and rhino wrestling. I mean, there's a lot going on here, and maybe they can be everything all at once and nothing at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they have this very... Look, they've got this great question. Maybe this question will give us insight into them as well. This question that I think you can really answer this, Andy. So here we go. We would like to ask, what happens to toilet paper once it's been flushed down the toilet?
Right. Yes, that is a very, very interesting question. And I think I do actually have some unique insight into this.
Wow.
Because once again, I was speaking to my postman about this, and his wife works as the sort of central roll of the toilet paper, you know, the little cardboard bit in the middle.
Yes.
That's her job,
right?
And she says that it goes one of two ways with the toilet paper once it's been flushed down the toilet. So if it's dependent on the character.
Right.
Of the toilet paper. Toilet paper that has been good goes down a special pipe to Toilet Paper City.
Right.
Where all of the good toilet paper goes, and it gets to sort of change shape into whatever it wants to, because it becomes very malleable once it's in the water. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, it can turn into a sort of tree or a building or a car or something like that. And it gets to sort of live out the rest of its life in whatever shape it chooses.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Whereas a bad toilet paper, which has, you know, committed crimes during its lifetimes, such as ripping.
Oh no.
That has to go back to Toilet Paper Academy.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got some questions. Where does, because you obviously get different types of toilet paper, and it's often that really awful kind of very thin toilet paper that rips the most, whereas the kind of hefty luxury quilted toilet paper tends not to rip. I mean, this system feels very unfair to that poor thin toilet paper.
It is unfair, and you know there are. Groups who are dedicated to trying to redress this imbalance, you know, sort of speaking to Parliament, writing letters to MPs and things like that, saying, please let all toilet paper go to Toilet Paper City. Yeah. And dismantle Toilet Paper Academy brick by brick so that this thing doesn't happen again.
Wow. Wow. And I'm guessing the MPs are too busy giving everyone cats to pay attention.
Yeah. 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 They say, stop bothering us with this. We don't care.
Yeah. It's terrible.
We don't care.
The other question I suppose I need to ask is, you know, what happened? Does it matter whether the toilet paper has been used for a hefty poo or just for like a sneeze or, you know, because toilet paper is often used for a variety of things?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, to be honest. It does mean that Toilet Paper City has quite a lot of poo and sneezes and in some cases some bits of sick.
Yeah.
In it, and some bits of maybe tomato sauce that's been spilled on the floor.
Sure.
If you don't have any kitchen roll.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Things scraped off shoes.
So. Toilet Paper City is quite a smelly place, and if anything, Toilet Paper Academy is a little less stinky. But
So it's not really that great a place to. I mean, I'm guessing Toilet Paper doesn't have a. Am I wrong in thinking Toilet Paper doesn't have a nose?
It doesn't have a nose. No, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't really matter to. It matters to visitors. The tourist board of Toilet Paper City has long been trying to come up with measures to encourage people to visit the various sights and sounds and indeed smells of Toilet Paper City, but they're having a hard time of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't want to go. It sounds horrible.
No, they do give you a clothes peg when you get on the plane.
All right, can you keep it? Can you take it home with you?
You have to give it back at the airport on the way back.
Oh, that's awful. I was hoping a free clothes peg. I was nearly sold on that, but
No, you get to the airport and you get a used clothes peg, and then you have to give it back on the way back.
Oh, that's awful. That's awful. Yeah.
So really there's more they could be doing. But
there is a lot more they could be doing, and I think there's also. I've got a number of concerns. Let me just raise one with you. I don't know what the weather's like. Where is Toilet Paper City? Is it? It's its own. You've got to catch a plane there. Is it outdoors? What happens when it rains? Does it all just disintegrate?
Yeah, it's actually on an island, in the middle of the ocean, but it extends into the ocean as well. So basically, when the toilet paper gets flushed away, it goes into the sea, and then it all sort of collects Toilet Paper City, and. Some of the islands. So there's a great big mountain in the centre of it, but when it rains, some of that does sort of fall over, and expose sort of new bits of poo, which smell worse than the old bits.
I bet that's horrible. That's really horrible.
Yeah.
Some of your fishy friends, some of your dolphin friends, must have accidentally encountered this place and been pretty upset by it.
If they're swimming too fast, some of them go sort of, you know, beak first into the side, and they get stuck, and then obviously their nasal passages, their blowholes quite close to the island, and they hate it, they absolutely loathe it.
I'm not surprised. It just sounds awful, and also, you know, this is what toilet paper wants, and who's to deny what it wants, but. Sometimes I'm going to let you in on a secret here, Andy, and maybe I shouldn't expose this on the podcast. But sometimes I put toilet paper in my pocket because I can't be bothered to buy proper tissues and I need to blow my nose. And then I leave it in my pocket. My jeans go in the washing machine, and then when you take your jeans out, the toilet paper's gone all weird and crumbly and in little sort of fluffy bits, and it's a mess. And have I just done the worst thing you could possibly do to toilet paper?
That is a third realm.
Right.
Yeah. So I suppose that's probably akin to a sort of a purgatory for toilet paper, a sort of third place that they can go where they're not really enjoying being there and not having a horrible time either. More bored. I think that toilet paper's probably quite bored.
What do you need to do? Sort of just quickly flush it down the toilet and...
Flush it down the toilet, and then let the pipes decide.
Yeah, okay. And when you see those signs on we were talking about me imagining being on a train earlier, and if I imagine I'm on a train now, sometimes when you use a toilet on a train, it says, please do not flush all these things down the toilet, and it says, I don't know, Ibexes and, cars and whatever.
Diamonds.
Don't flush these down the toilet. And is that because they're not welcome at Toilet Paper Land, or just they don't really fit in?
Yeah, well, they don't fit in, but also I think it's part of the anti-toilet paper academy movement.
Sure, sure.
Just trying to stop the toilet being used at all.
Oh, right.
I think that's what they want.
They'd prefer people just didn't use the toilet and just sort of do you hold it in or you sort of poo out the window?
You throw it.
Or you throw it.
Like, throw it out in the sky.
Yeah.
And the good thing about that is if people are trained from birth to throw their poo and their wee into the sky, then everyone would have big arms.
Oh, that's
big,
good,
powerful arms.
Yeah, that's good. But probably a lot of poo on
I mean, the sky would be brown.
Right. It would rain wee and poo.
Well, if you didn't have a big enough arm to get it into orbit.
Oh, sure.
But the ideal, I guess the ideal goal would be for everybody to have such a powerful set of arms that they can, hoy all of their waste into orbit and hopefully into the sun.
Yes.
Because that would deal with it.
Yes, I was going to say into the sun. That makes the perfect, yeah. That would be a beautiful world. And then we wouldn't, toilet paper, I guess, could just do its own thing, could just sort of form its own city without even having to travel down the toilet.
Absolutely, and that the city wouldn't smell bad either.
Well, I hope it happens one day. I hope it happens.
Me too. I've got my fingers and toes crossed that we will live to see this beautiful future.
Is it quite hard to throw your poo with crossed fingers?
It forms a sort of webbing.
Oh, sure.
In the hand that kind of enables you to, I'd say, clutch the poo better.
Oh, good, right, yes.
More of a sort of catapult thing.
Oh, that's good. Oh, and it's a good tip. Good tip for any listeners out there who aren't perhaps experts.
You certainly don't want to do it with a splayed hand because some of it'll go backwards.
Yes, that would be awful. Wow. Wow, so much knowledge. Thank you, Andy. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your expertise. Thank you for answering Anonymous and Rhino's questions, whether they be the Rhino you went to school with or a wrestling tag team or both. Or just a very old time traveling sad Rhino Roman person. We don't know. But yeah, thank you for answering those questions. And I guess what are you up to now for the next few decades of your life? Are you just balancing tuna in different cupboards?
For the most part, yeah. So I tend to operate on a sort of week on, week off sleep system. So next week I'm going to be asleep.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Great. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you very much. And good luck to you with all of your endeavours. Keep working on that arm.
I will. Thank you very much. And I hope to see you soon.
See you soon.
Big thanks to Andy Barr for taking time out of his tuna balancing and sleeping to answer Anonymous's and Rhino's questions. Anonymous and Rhino, amazing wrestling duo. I do hope you liked your answers, but if not, why not write any complaints you have on some tuna and the cats will eat it and I'll never have to see it. If you have a question that needs to be answered or you just want to send in jokes or anything else at all, then please ask your flappy belchers, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. Or send a message on the Spotify Q&A for each episode. If your grown-ups want to help me buy a lot of tuna to keep all the cats I'm now surrounded by happy, then they can sign you up to the Linda edition of this show, which is just like this one, but with no adverts, no Linda, and it arrives one day earlier each week too. Do also check out comedyclubforkids.co.uk for all of our live shows. And if you're listening to this serious, serious podcast, then please do tell other very sensible people you know to give it a try. Unless they're a cat, then tell them to go away. Anyway, no, I've actually worked out how to do a podcast for cats. All I have to do is make this podcast very, very warm. There you go. That's the heating coming on. Whoa, that is really uncomfortably warm. And I'm just going to leave bits of cat food about the place. Yep, that should do it. Okay. Oh, it's really warm in here now. Okay, and now, come on, cats. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Where are they? Oh, great. Now I'm just going to have to call them for ages until they turn up so I can finish this episode. Kitty, kitty, kitty. Little, Jonathan Whiskers. Susan Furface. Kitty, kitty. None of them are coming. I don't even know their names. Those might not be their names. They might just have really ordinary names like number 0423 or Dennis Katz. I don't know. Am I going to have to do a cat episode forever now? What was that? Oh, hang on. I can see something all the way in the distance through the window. I'm just going to get my binoculars. What? The neighbours at number 11 are feeding all the cats? Well, this is great, isn't it? That means I can just finish the show right now. Ah, brilliant. Okay, I'm going to turn the heating off. I'm going to close all the doors. Ah, brilliant. Right, well, that's the end of that then. And I guess we'll be back to normal next week. Bye. What? You want to come in now I've closed the doors? Oh, this is the worst. Cats!
You have been listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents. Radio nonsense, radio nonsense,
radio nonsense,
radio nonsense,
radio nonsense.
It's the end.